Good morning, Mrs. Serrata. My name is Spencer Salzberg.
James Joseph.
Kevin Peters.
And we're from the TurnTech School of Technology. Go ahead.
Can you describe when and where you were born and a little bit about your grandparents?
I'd be glad to, Kevin. I think it's a very good start for this. I was born in Baltimore, but I've lived in Miami so long that I was brought down here. I was really little. I don't remember anywhere else. My grandparents, however, lived in Europe, in Poland, Russia. And my own parents were brought from there when they were so little that they didn't remember Europe either. They grew up with accents just like mine. They didn't know anything but the deep south of the United States. And I'm the same. I didn't know anything but Miami, my growing up years.
And what was it like growing up when you were as a child?
It was very, very segregated. Our school was white, and we didn't know any black children to play with. You didn't even know they existed. The only black people you ever saw was somebody that came to the house maybe once a week, or if you had some money, maybe every day. But other than that, you didn't know them any other way. My parents were under the impression, although we were Jewish and our rabbi taught, and we knew from the Bible, everybody's the same, we've all got one father. But they still had learned as little children, don't forget they were born 20 years after the Civil War, they had learned that those other people may not really be people, they might be some species of animal. You know, they weren't the same as us. That's the way they grew up. And that's the way it looked like to me in the beginning. I thought that's the way it was supposed to be when I was really little.
Describe what your community was like as a child.
Well, the community, as I told you, was very separate. The first inkling that I had, right, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I was helping in the school library in my nice little Lily White Buena Vista Elementary School. And the teacher was sorting the books at the end of the year. There's one pile of books over here, the pages are torn and they're swollen. And I said, these go in the garbage, don't they? And my teacher said to me, oh no, we got to save those. We give those to the black schools. They'll be glad to have them.
And so did you ever have the intention, maybe, that you wanted to go play with the other
kids? Sure, I would have liked to, and particularly after hearing that. You know, when I first heard it, I thought, oh, isn't that nice of my teacher to want to do such a generous thing? And after thinking about it for a while, I realized that's not the way it should be. And from then on, I felt different about it and wanted to do things.
And earlier you mentioned that you were Jewish, so when you attended your temple, did they do anything to help out the community?
Yes, and you know, don't you, Spencer, because you're part of that temple, too. This was Temple Israel in Miami, Northeast 19th Street. And our rabbi at the time was telling people who considered themselves Lily White Southerners, don't you know that you and your brothers and sisters are all the same people with the same Father God? We heard that every service. And we lived it all our lives. Temple Israel had the first Head Start program in Miami for the little children came to our temple for their studying. And we did many things along the way. As we get into more recent history, I can tell you some more things Temple Israel did. Well, for one thing, my son Gerald, who grew up to be a rabbi, but when he was in high school, one of the things his youth group did was they went into the nearby Liberty City area and they went door to door. They were registering people to vote. This was pretty uncommon at that time. Of course, that was way later, you know. He was born in 1946. At the time he was in high school, it was the 50s. And it wasn't that unusual, but it was still segregated. There were still differences.
Okay.
What else do you remember about the days of segregation?
About segregation? Let me tell you that I have seen the Ku Klux March, the Ku Klux Klan. Do you kids know what that is? The Ku Klux Klan, their sworn idea was that white Christian were the only people that really deserved to live on the earth. And the rest of them, if they did anything wrong, you were supposed to punish them. And punishment included killing and sometimes having fun with them first. I remember seeing a parade go by with those people. They had on the sheets and they had on the hats. And all you could see of them was their eyes. My parents were with me in that parade side, you know, it was Armistice Day or something. But they were part of it. And my parents said, don't look at them. Don't even look at them, Dorothy. Turn your head away. But I wanted to see. And I looked at them. And you could see their eyes. They looked like the mailman or some teacher that you had in school. They didn't look different than anyone else. And I was trying to say, well, they're not such bad people. But years later, then I found out. This I heard from somebody who grew up black, and she was telling us about when she was little, about the same age as me. Her parents would, maybe a maid in a white person's house, they'd be ironing the sheets for these people, the costumes that they wore, the pointy hats and the eyes. And in her house, when the maid knew she'd gone to the white person's house, she ironed the sheets. She came home, told the rest of the family, stay indoors tonight. They're going to march. Stay inside. So everybody stayed inside, and the Ku Kluxers came by in their sheets and their cars, and they're prancing around, you know. At one point there, this woman was telling me, her name's Dorothy, too. She's one of the local historians. She said one of the dogs went out on their porch and barked. And her little brother went out to get the dog, you know. Guys driving by in the car, they heard the dog bark. Well, somebody pulled out a gun and shot the dog. Kid was out there, too. He could just as well have hit the kid. He didn't care. Now, that's something I didn't know from my own knowledge, but I did hear about it. I do know about it now.
I don't know if you might have heard about it, but have you ever heard of Virginia Beach?
I do know what Virginia Beach is and where.
How are your feelings towards that?
Well, at the time, you know, when I was a kid, I thought, well, we got our beach, they got their beach. Theirs is as nice as ours. Well, it not only wasn't as nice, so it was ocean. Ocean is ocean wherever you are. But I just heard today that I didn't realize it. Should have known the causeway didn't come until later. They wanted to go swimming. They had to go get on a boat to get to Virginia Beach, the rest of us. When my first year, when we lived in Miami, we could walk to the beach. We lived in Miami Beach, and the ocean was on one side, and the bay was on the other. Come out of our house, you could see the ocean over here, and you could see the bay over there, because there weren't any hotels or anything where we were living.
We're pretty much past segregation. Have you ever visited the beach?
Virginia Beach? No, I haven't been there, no.
Okay. I know this has been short, but do you have any more stories that you want to share?
I sure do. I can tell you a few things. I want to tell you about my friend Ruth Greenfield. I know you've interviewed her, too, but you may not know this particular story. Ruth Greenfield is a professor, musician, concert pianist. She had in her home the first interracial school, art school, music for black and white children in her home. Her own children went to a private school, Cushman School in Miami, very famous school, the first private school. And Miss Laura Cushman had Ruth into her office one day. And she said, you know, I have had parents in my school tell me that they're thinking about taking their children out because your children go to my school. And you let black children come to your school, to your home, to take lessons. And my friend Ruth thought, oh, Miss Cushman is going to tell me to take my children out of school. So she sat there and waited. Miss Cushman said, well, I told those parents that we will miss their children when they take them out of the school. So you see, there was always somebody that was on the side of segregation, desegregation. I went to school with a young man, Jack Orr, he was the president of the student council. He was a sophomore, and he was a senior, and I was a sophomore at Miami Beach High. Nice kid. We liked and admired him. But I didn't know that he was going to grow up and do something famously wonderful. He was in the state legislature of the state of Florida. And the question came up in the state legislature, shall we desegregate the schools? And, you know, this had already been ordered by the Supreme Court at this point. And Jack Gore stood up and said, yes, we should. And he tried to pass a bill. He was the only one in the state legislature of Florida that voted that way. He didn't get reelected. But we did get the schools desegregated. It was partly things we were doing. I spoke for it over the years, worked for it, and had people object to my doing it.
And are you just happy that you've done it?
I'm glad we've gotten to this point with it. I'd like it to see it go even further.
Thank you for coming.
Okay.